Welcome to the program, Our Lady Speaks Today. Your narrator, I'm John Hafford, who's written several books about Our Lady and was a co-founder of the World Apostolate of Fatima. And I have had rather intimate association with several of these apparitions of which I shall speak. The voice of Our Lady is rendered by Mrs. Julia Saravalo, hostess of the television series Christianity 2000. In this first program, we will be covering the apparitions of Our Lady from 1830 until the latest apparition of Our Lady in Akita, Japan. We're speaking only, of course, of the apparitions which have been approved by the Church, and our primary purpose will be to repeat the words of Our Lady, all of her words, rather than to give a detailed explanation of each of the apparitions. However, in the second program, we will deal in much greater detail with these very important, most recent apparitions in Japan, where Our Lady has updated us on all of these previous messages. After hearing this tape, we warmly recommend that you read Don Sharkey's book, The Woman Shall Conquer. It may be obtained from various sources, including the 101 Foundation and the Blue Army National Center in Washington, New Jersey. We usually say that the Marian Age began with the apparition of Our Lady on the Rue de Bac in Paris in 1830. And really, since we're speaking of Our Lady's messages today, that is where we do begin, because that's when Marx was just there in Paris, preparing his manifesto, which was released during the times of these apparitions. And there is a very close connection between all these apparitions of Our Lady and the rise of militant atheism, which began in Paris with the encyclopedists and infiltrated all of Europe, and then finally was organized into a militant crusade to establish atheism throughout the entire world with Lenin and Stalin after 1917. But we can't help but mention the apparition of Our Lady on the North American continent in 1531. On Saturday, the 9th of December of that year, Our Lady appeared to a 55-year-old layman and sent him to the bishop of the city with a message that she wanted a temple built there. And as a sign to the bishop, she caused her image to appear miraculously on the coarse cloth of the Indian's apron, and that image remains perfect to this day in all its color. And there is no possible explanation, no physical explanation for the presence of that picture on this coarse cloth. This miracle resulted in the conversion of some 8 million Indians from paganism. And it was seen as sort of an answer to what was happening in Europe with the Reformation, where a similar number of people left the Church. Primarily, the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe is one of consolation, of her presence in the world, of her nearness, of her motherliness. She was coming as a consoling, converting, loving mother, bringing all those who saw her image to her divine son. Her words to the 55-year-old man who addressed her as his little mother, and she spoke to him as though he were a child. She said, "Fear nothing. I, who am your mother, am I not here? Do I not hold you in my arms? Do I not keep you in my shadow?" And because of the terrible heat of that country, she was constantly protecting him, giving him comfort. "Fear nothing, I who am your mother, am I not here?" But when the great apparitions of the modern era begin, at the time that Marxism is beginning to raise its head, and the period of science and the denial of religion through science begins, Our Lady comes in tears. And the first of these great apparitions, as we said, took place in Paris in 1830. When the guardian angel of a nun, a novice, in the mother house of the Sisters of Charity, awoke her and told her to follow him to the chapel. And then in the chapel he led her up to the altar rail and said, "Here is your mother." And Our Lady suddenly appeared and sat down in a chair that had been placed there for a conference the following day. She was dressed very much the same as she would be in the subsequent apparitions to today's world. She was dressed in an off-white robe with a blue mantle and a white veil over her head fell over her shoulders. This was one of the two most intimate apparitions of Our Lady in modern times. Saint Catherine unhesitatingly ran forward and knelt beside the chair and rested her hands in Our Lady's lap, looking up into her eyes. The second most intimate apparition took place at Pontevedra, when Our Lady came to reveal her Immaculate Heart and to ask for the devotion of the five first Saturdays, and she reached her arm forward and placed it around Sister Lucia's shoulder as she spoke about the devotion of the five first Saturdays. Sister Catherine, now known as Saint Catherine Laborde, said that when she rested her hands on Our Lady's lap and looked up into her eyes, "It was the sweetest joy of my life, a delight beyond expression." And then Our Lady spoke.
Say what? "My child, God wishes you to undertake a mission. For it, you will have much to suffer, but you will overcome that by recalling that you do so for the glory of God. The times are evil. Terrible things are about to happen in France. The throne will be destroyed, and the whole world will be convulsed by terrible calamities. But come to the foot of the altar. Here, great graces will be poured out upon all who ask them with confidence and fervor. They will be bestowed upon the great and upon the small."
Our Lady's second visit to Catherine took place on November the 27th, 1830, 4 months after the first one. Now, this time, Our Lady was not seated in a chair, as in the very first intimate apparition, but she appeared over the altar of which she had spoken in the first apparition when she said, "Come to the foot of the altar." Her head was covered with a soft white veil, and she was standing on a globe. In her hands, she held a smaller globe with a tiny cross on top. She held the globe as if offering it to God. Then she lowered her hands and rays of light streamed down to the larger globe from gems or rings on her fingers. Lowering her eyes, Our Lady said to Catherine,
"This ball you see is the world. I am praying for it and for everyone in the world. The rays are the graces which I give to those who ask for them. But there are no rays from some of these stones. For many people do not receive graces because they do not ask for them."
Today, in the chapel of the apparitions in Paris, there are two statues representing these visions. One of Our Lady over the altar with her hands lowered, as we see them on the miraculous medal, and rays of light streaming down. And then on a side altar, over the incorrupt body of Saint Catherine, is the statue of Our Lady holding the globe, which Our Lady said represented the world and everyone in it, whom she holds close to her Immaculate Heart and offers to God. Now the vision changed, and an oval frame formed around Our Lady. The small globe disappeared, and Our Lady dropped her hands to her sides. She became brighter and lovelier as she did so, and around the oval frame appeared in gold the words, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." And then a voice said to Catherine,
Have a medal made according to this picture. All those who wear it, when it is blessed, will receive many graces, especially if they wear it suspended from their necks.
Suddenly, the entire picture seemed to turn around, and on the reverse side, Sister Catherine saw the letter M surmounted by a cross, and below were two hearts, that of Our Lord encircled by a crown of thorns, and that of Our Lady pierced by a sword, and enclosing the entire picture were 12 stars. This medal, which is officially known as the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, has become known as the Miraculous Medal because of the many wonders and favors which have been obtained through wearing it. And it's important to read more about this very, very important gift of Our Lady, especially about some of the great miracles, such as the conversion of the Jew Ratisbon, who was wearing the medal on a dare. And Our Lady appeared to him. He was not only converted, but he became a priest and founded the Order of Our Lady of Zion, one of the most famous early miracles of the Miraculous Medal. But now these terrible prophecies of Our Lady. Many overlook the fact that in that very first apparition, Sister Catherine was amazed to see tears forming in Our Lady's eyes as she spoke of what was going to happen in the world. We realize that this was the time that communism was being born. This was the time that Karl Marx was in Paris. This very time that Our Lady was appearing, when Satan was preparing his master plan of a militant atheistic revolution throughout the entire world to draw men to the brink and perhaps even to the act of nuclear self-destruction. But immediately, many of these prophecies of Our Lady began to come true, almost within weeks. And then during the War of the Commune in 1871, many of the events of Our Lady in the first apparition came true to the letter. Blood ran in the streets. Many priests were killed. Archbishop Dubois of Paris was brutally murdered. The insurrectionists were strongly influenced by the teachings of Karl Marx, and so they can be considered the forerunners of the communists of today. It is interesting that St. Catherine Laborde remained hidden and obscure, but she was the instrument through which Our Lady saw that her prophecies became known and the Miraculous Medal began to spread through the world. She knew she was to die in 1876, and she breathed her last on December 31st of that year. In that same year, Our Lady appeared at Pellevoisin in an apparition which is little known, and indeed which was only approved in a final way on September the 8th, 1983. The very time that St. Catherine was preparing for the death that Our Lady had announced to her, there in Paris, a lady's maid to the Countess de la Rochefoucauld became ill. She was admitted to a hospital in Paris, and the doctors diagnosed her illness as an advanced case of consumption. She also was suffering from a tumor which she had had for 10 years. The doctor said there was no hope. Estelle was 32 years old. A short time later, she was moved to a house that was owned by her employers in Pellevoisin, the diocese of Bourges, which is southwest of Paris, not far from the famous city of Tours. In September of 1875, Estelle wrote a letter to Our Lady, which a friend placed for her in a shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes nearby, a home shrine, in which she begged Our Lady to have pity on her mother and father and a little orphan niece who depended on her for support. And in this pleading letter, she said to Our Lady, "How can they get along without me?" Then after a long struggle with herself, she became reconciled, but still was dying with this terrible concern, because her mother and father and that little niece would have to beg for a living when she was gone. Could imagine how very, very poor they were. Finally, on February 10th, the doctor said she had only a few hours to live. She could hold no food, and he said, it is useless to torture her for the short time she has to live. But 5 days later, she was still alive, although she was expected to die momentarily. That morning, she told the priest that the Blessed Virgin had appeared to her during the night, and that either she would be dead or cured by the following Saturday. And the next day, she told the priest, she had seen Our Lady again, and she would be cured on Saturday. On Friday night, she seemed to be in her last agony. The priest wished to hear her confession, but she said she would receive it next day when she would be well. Now, these apparitions of Our Lady to Estelle in this extremity of illness are very meaningful to all of us. Indeed, after Our Lady performed the miracle of Estelle's cure, that was the miracle that was approved finally by the Church on September the 8th, 1983. The messages have been approved much earlier, not long after the apparitions. The place where Our Lady appeared was turned into a chapel, and a convent of Dominican nuns was built next to it, and has been a place of pilgrimage for all those years, for 100 years. But it seemed that this apparition was hidden and kept for now, because it was only now that the Church finally recognized in an official way the miracle, and therefore that this whole event was supernatural. In that first apparition, Estelle seemed to be at the very point of death, and suddenly the devil appeared at the foot of her bed. And at that moment, Our Lady appeared and said to Satan,
what brings you here? Do you not see that she wears my livery and that of my son?
Estelle was wearing the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And rebuking Satan, Our Lady has said, do you not see that she is wearing my livery and that of my son? We have often thought of the scapular as the livery of Our Lady, a title that was very dear to St. Alphonsus Liguori, in whose tomb the scapular was found miraculously preserved after 40 years, when everything else in the tomb had corrupted. But we had never heard the scapular referred to as the livery of my son. And that is a key word in all of the some 15 apparitions which are to follow. At those words, Satan drew back, and as he did so, he pulled the iron bed, and Estelle said she was filled with terror. And then suddenly Satan disappeared, all was quiet, and Our Lady spoke.
Fear nothing. You are my daughter. Have courage. Be patient. My son will allow himself to be prevailed upon. You will suffer 5 days longer in honor of the 5 wounds of my son. On Saturday, you will either be dead or cured. If my son restores you to life, I wish you to publish my glory.
Estelle had not yet made a complete act of resignation. But after this apparition of Our Lady, she trusted the future of her mother and father and of her orphan niece to Our Lady and made a total act of resignation. And that, of course, is what Our Lady wished. This was the very first question she asked of the children at Fatima. Would you be willing to accept whatever God will send you? The same message in all the apparitions of Our Lady as Our Lady speaks today. And now, after Estelle had made that act of resignation, Our Lady appeared again and said,
"By your resignation, you have expiated your faults. I am all-merciful. Your good works and fervent prayers have touched my mother's heart."
Our Lady had asked Estelle to suffer for 5 days in honor of the 5 wounds of her son, and on the 5th day, after which Estelle knew she was going to be cured, she was wondering what she should do now in her state, about her state of life, and she asked Our Lady, who answered,
"One can be saved in every state. Where you are, you can do a great deal of good, and you can publish my glory. What afflicts me most is the want of respect shown by some people to my divine Son in Holy Communion, and the attitude taken for prayer, when at the same time the mind continues occupied with other things. I say this for people who pretend to be pious."
After this apparition, Estelle was cured on the Saturday. Very meaningful are those words of Our Lady, "What afflicts me most is the want of respect shown by some to my divine Son in Holy Communion." And Our Lady has asked for a communion of reparation on the first Saturdays of the month in reparation to her Immaculate Heart, that heart which is most afflicted by those who receive careless communions. The next apparition of Our Lady took place on July the 1st, and Our Lady appeared very much as she had to St. Catherine Laboureil. She was all in white, and when Estelle first saw her, she had her arms stretched out, and from her hands there fell drops like rain. And then, looking at Estelle, Our Lady said,
"Be calm, my child. Have patience. You will have sorrows, but I will be with you."
It is to be noted that Our Lady spoke in her very first apparition, she spoke of the scapular as her livery and that of her son. And the most exciting and important part of these apparitions will be a special revelation of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary made one with ours through the scapular devotion. But now, preparing Estelle for this amazing and beautiful revelation, Our Lady appeared the next day, after appearing as she had on the miraculous medal, and she said that the heart of her son, the Sacred Heart, bears so much love for her that he can refuse her nothing.
"The heart of my son bears so much love for me that he cannot refuse me any requests."
A few days later, referring to the revelation of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Our Lady said,
"For a long time, the treasures of my son have been open. Let them pray."
After those words, "Let them pray," Our Lady raised a scapular she was wearing on her breast, the front of which was white. And on the white background, Estelle saw a red heart. And Our Lady said,
"I love this devotion."
Pausing to allow Estelle to absorb these important words, Our Lady now added,
"It is here I will be honored."
Somewhat as devotion to the Sacred Heart had diminished now some 200 years after the revelation of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, so devotion to the brown scapular had greatly diminished. And yet Our Lady is saying here that in this devotion, which she loves, she will be honored. And she is indicating that it is a way of praying. Each time she indicated the scapular, she said, let them pray. Now for 1 week, Our Lady did not appear. And then, coming back to Estelle, again wearing the scapular, Our Lady said,
let them pray. I show them the example.
The scapular is a silent prayer. It proclaims at every moment that we believe, that we hope, that we want God in our lives. It is a constant act. When we think of it, an active practice of the theological virtues, and even when we're not thinking of it, by the power of the virtual intention, it is a virtual profession of the theological virtues. And after saying this, let them pray, I show them the example, Our Lady now said,
in the church, there is not the calm I desire. Let them pray, and let them have confidence in me.
About 3 weeks later, Estelle had made a scapular, and Our Lady appeared and said,
you have not lost your time today. You have worked for me.
The 15th and last apparition took place on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, just 3 weeks before St. Catherine Laboureil was to be taken to heaven by Our Lady. And Our Lady appeared now again, as she had on the miraculous medal, their hands extended, and as though drops of rain were streaming from her hands. And Our Lady said,
recall to mind all my words. My child, remember my words. Repeat them often. They will strengthen you and console you in your trials. You will see me no more.
As Estelle had been terrified by Satan just before Our Lady's first appearance, now she saw crowds of people of all classes who threatened and made angry gestures at her. She felt again that fear. And Our Lady smiled and said,
you have nothing to fear from these. I have chosen you to publish my glory and to spread this devotion.
She held out the scapular and added,
you will go to the prelate. You will present to him the model scapular you have made. Tell him that he is to help you with all his power, and that nothing will be more acceptable to me than to see this livery on each of my children, and that they all endeavor to repair the outrages received by my divine Son in the sacrament of his love. See the graces I will bestow on those who will wear it with confidence and who will assist in propagating it.
And as Our Lady was saying this, she lowered her hands again, and the rainfall of graces flowed from her hands like drops of rain. Now, we have something that seems new here, but is extremely important. As she is asking through the scapular devotion that we repair for the outrages received by her divine Son in the Blessed Sacrament. And what we have saved for the last was the heart of these apparitions, in which no words were spoken. And that is what the scapular devotion is, a wordless devotion of love, of consecration. Our Lady appeared, as we told you before, and held out the scapular, and it was white, but a red heart appeared on it. And she invited Estelle to come forward and to kiss the scapular. And as Estelle came forward, the heart that she saw on the scapular was the sacred heart of Jesus actually beating, and blood and water were flowing from it. Now, it was a living heart, and yet the heart of Christ had to have been dead when the water came forth. So as the expert on Père Voisin, Father Vernet, says, this is the resurrected Sacred Heart of Jesus beating for us in the Blessed Sacrament. And Our Lady offered the scapular so that Estelle could kiss the Sacred Heart. And as she did so, she was aware of the living, beating heart of Mary beneath it. And she felt that wearing her own scapular, suddenly her heart was one with the living, beating, immaculate heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And this certainly is an aspect of this great devotion of the scapular which is reserved for these latter times.